at the bomb site. So this is one of the reasons they're using it. But I really think the United States is doing it on purpose. They want to terrorize countries into submitting to them. People go, geez, you know, we can fight ordinary bombs, but what are we going to, you know, the whole country, our children, our future is over. The whole country's ruined forever. Let's surrender the United States without a war. Why go through what Yugoslavia went through, you see?
Okay. Che, we can go now, no? Okay. Yes, subject, sir. Sue them, from David Mack. Bobby, why...
Which page is this?
This is page 60.
Okay.
Bobby, why can't your lawyer in America sue these companies on your behalf? Or would you have to be there? Or would the federal indictment hanging over you preclude that? Or are you completely disillusioned with the courts? Regards, Dave.
Yeah, the last. I'm completely disillusioned with the courts in the U.S.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, subject, howdy from Texas. Date is April 4, 99, from Kevin Hensley. Mr. Fisher, just wanted to say that I agree that what happened to you and your belongings was an atrocity. I was wondering, what do you miss the most about living in America? If there's anything that I can do to help your situation, please let me know. Kevin.
I miss, of course, some of my friends there, and I also miss, you have a great telephone system there, and it's much cheaper, my God. The phone system in Europe, I mean, this is a real rip-off. It's like a, when I call internationally, it's like maybe four or five times more than if I were in the States, you know. It's murder. Mm-hmm. Phone bills I have here are absolutely murder.
Okay. Okay. Subject. For the greatest champ of all time, from Mayan King. I was aghast at how your personal belongings were stolen from you. It greatly upsets me, and I wish it never would have occurred. It is a great shame the way you have been treated. I hope those responsible for this crime get punished. I wish
right.
you...
That's the right attitude, right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I wish you well in your future endeavors.
But they won't, because the Jews and the United States government are back to this robbery of my stuff in Beacon. Nothing's going to happen until the Jewish dictatorship in the United States is overthrown.
Okay. Chair, subject is Kasparov Deep Blue from Marcus Drexler. Dear, this is April 5, 99. Dear Mr. Fisher, don't you think that the games in the lame match between Kasparov and Deep Blue were fixed? I mean, probably Kasparov was paid to play like he did and to lose that last game in such a childish manner. I hope that one day you will find time to recollect all the needed data and then show the chess world that all matches after 1972 has been fixed. JN Denmark.
Yeah, well, I had the data up there in my storage in Beacon, but about the first prearranged match between Karpov and Kasparov, the 84-85 match, but they robbed it all.
Okay.
Regarding the Kasparov match being rigged with the last match with the Deep Blue, a lot of people have said that to me. I really don't know. I tend to think it was a real match. That last game did look kind of unreal, I have to say. But overall, the match looked real to me. But it's very hard to say. I heard the previous match Kasparov played the computer. Somebody, one of the other Ilyushinov's men told me, he should know, that in the previous match, after Kasparov lost, what was it, the first game or the second game? Which game did he lose in the previous match?
Which game what?
He played a match before this with Deep Blue.
Uh-huh.
What game did he lose there? The first game, second game?
I don't know. I'm not so...
Anyway,
not so
he
familiar.
Lost the game early in the previous match.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Before this, and this the Hiram Gina man told me, when he lost that game, the Deep Blue people turned down the strength of the machine. Yeah. And this is coming from a Russian. Somebody very knowledgeable. So, if Kasparov threw this match to the computer, then he's a crook, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, if he did not throw this match, his play was so utterly passive and weak and unbelievable that how could his other matches with Karpov have been real? Either way, he's a crook. You see? Either way, he's a crook.
Okay.
No question about it. The Karpov-Kasparov matches were all prearranged. And this match with the last match he played with the computer, everybody says he was unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. Yeah, maybe he was unrecognizable, but maybe the match was real. See?
Okay. So, Bobby, here is an interesting one. This is dated April 7, 1999, from Jason Collette. Dear Mr. Fisher, my name is Jason Collette, and I'm 16 years old, and I'm from America, and I have heard your interviews, and I just wanted to tell you some things, since I have been given the opportunity to. First, I just wanted to tell you that I know you to be the real world champion, not like Kasparov, the fake one. I think that FIDE are liars, cheaters, and they took your title from you falsely. You are the true world champion, and I think you are the greatest chess player ever. I see all these books and other things lately using your name illegally, and I think it's wrong. It's all wrong. These Jews that are trying to make your life hell, it makes me angry that they would sink so low to steal all your memorabilia and everything you hold dear and prevent you from playing chess and make your life terrible for you. I just want to say that I'm with you, Bobby. These damn vultures that won't leave you alone and keep trying to find ways to get you... You need to be exposed. They're jealous that you are the greatest chess player in the world and that you beat them because they think they are the best at everything, and it makes them mad and that you prove them wrong. And I really do hope this letter gets to you, because I want you to know that you are my hero and I'm on your side. I play chess and I'm very serious about playing. You have been my biggest influence on chess. And I am just furious that these vultures are preventing you from doing so many great things for chess. I have heard of your Fischer Random Chess game, and I think it's a brilliant idea. Chess is being fixed and set up by all these vultures that are after you, and I think it's wrong. But your idea for Fischer Random Chess is a good idea. I mean, it truly takes away all the fixed preparation for chess and rely on your own intellect for the game. I hope you can get it promoted worldwide. I'm sure you could if these vultures would leave you alone. But I wanted to tell you that I'm on your side and that I'm very sorry that these vultures are doing all this crap to you. I was also wondering, Bobby, is there any way that we can beat these vultures at chess? I mean, since they won't accept your Fischer Random Chess, is there any way we can defeat them at chess? I really would like your input on this, and I was also hoping you could tell me some good chess books that in your opinion would be helpful. I want to defeat these vultures at chess. And if there is anyone who can give me advice on how to do it, it's you, okay? I mean, it's you. Well, hey, buddy, you know, these people will be exposed, okay? Because all of your true fans will have the truth come out. These vultures are doing to get what's coming to them.
They are going to get what's coming to them.
Okay. Thanks for reading this, Bobby, if you got the chance to, and I want to say that I'm behind you, Bobby. Take care, Jason Collette.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Forget about the old chess. You know, it's like beating your head against the wall.
Okay. Now, another one. Subject, my 60 memorable games, from Edward E. Winter. Dear Mr. Fisher, your comments about my 60 memorable games in the fourth interview have prompted me to write a brief account of the affair in my chess notes column. It will be appearing in the 3/1999 issue of New in Chess. I don't know if you actually saw the magazine Chess, which published my findings, but in the article I gave you a very large number of examples of how Batsford had butchered your book. The total number of changes that I counted was, I thought, colossal, but it was not thousands. All I can do is give you an absolute assurance that I checked the two editions with extreme care until my eyes were red and reported my findings honestly. After my article appeared, a few chess readers attempted to defend Batsford by claiming the changes to your book were unimportant and by making personal attacks on me. Then I was assailed by Larry Evans in inside chess. He too apparently saw little wrong with what Batsford had done. And now I am under fire from you for being a bastard. Your anger at what Batsford did is 100% justified, but I think it would be misdirected at me. The sole purpose of the present message is to make sure that there is no misunderstanding. I was and remain outraged by what Batsford did to your book and have missed no opportunity to make that point in my writings. Defilement is the word I use in the forthcoming issue of New in Czech. With best wishes, yours sincerely, Edward Winter.
Okay, no, there was no misunderstanding, Mr. Winter. I consider you to be the controlled opposition in the chess world, one of their controlled oppositions. You are a phony. And yes, I have this Chess Monthly issue. As a matter of fact, I have a photocopy of your article right in front of me. This is in the January 1997 Chess. British magazine. And first of all, he didn't even mention, he says he went through this entire book. Why is it he didn't mention the most outrageous forgery of all in the book in My Game with Bobo Chan, this illegal mating variation?
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't mention that.
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't even mention that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also he says it's in the hundreds. It's not in the hundreds of Mr. Edward Winter. It's not in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the many, many thousands, and I'm not even counting the changes or changing over from descriptive to algebraic notation. If you want to count that, it's in the many, many, many tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
But, Eugene, you have the Batsford book in front of you?
Well,
why don't you just take a look at game 58?
58? Yeah.
Go,
58.
To,
The password.
Yeah, the password.
Well, 58 there, yeah.
Yeah, go to the comment that they made after move, number, 7.
Number 7. Wait a minute,
yeah.
Okay?
After 7, Bishop E3. Now, they have, 50. I'm supposed to be making a comment there, right?
After number 7, Bishop E3, yeah.
Now, you compare that with the genuine, edition.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even recognize it. It'll take you a few minutes even to know this is the same note.
Wow, that's incredible.
In this one note, starting after 7 to Bishop E3, the move of going to the next game move, which is 7, Bishop E7, see?
Yeah.
This note alone, they made like countless dozens, maybe I have to count the words. Every word has changed.
Maybe
they made hundreds of changes just in this one note. One note. So what the hell are you talking about? Mr. Winter, that I'm wrong when I say it's thousands and thousands of changes, countless thousands of changes. I was looking in this Batsford edition of my 60 Memorable Games the other day, and they have all these abbreviations like CH for championship and CT for candidate and OL for Olympic and IZ for interzonal. None of those abbreviations are in the original book. Not once. I never used those abbreviations. When I said championship, I always said championship, or I think maybe in one place I said champ, period, you know. I never used the initials CH for these things. And it's all forgeries. I was going through it. I don't have all of the book in a computer, so I have to do this all by hand. But I was looking at the number of times they forged just the abbreviation CH, and I counted about 78, approximately. Just that one forgery. Not counting the other, you know how many times they forged the word after, how many dozens of times, black dozens of times, white dozens of times, plus all the other changes they've made. Come on, Mr. Winter, you are a fool. He claims he didn't even catch the gel. Remember the gel thing, the gel word we went into?
Yeah.
He didn't even mention that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a phony bastard, Mr. Winter. He wrote an article called Instant Fisher, see? And here's what he says about me, right here on page 121. He says, one reason for Fisher's bad press is his tendency to keep reporters off balance with statements which, without warning, switch from perspicacity to absurdity and back again. Cliché-loving journalists can be at ease in covering Fisher only if they ignore the perspicacity, emphasize the absurdity, and add a dose of invention. Now, this Winter is always talking about, you know, precision and all this stuff in the things you say. What are these absurd statements, Mr. Winter? Tell me these absurd statements. You're a phony. You're no friend of mine. And also, I read with you had a little dialogue with Larry Evans. I think it was an Inside Chess. I have it here. I have to check it out. It was in one of those magazines. It was either an Inside Chess or Chess Live. I think it was Inside Chess. You had a little dialogue with Larry Evans, and you said Bashford has treated me outrageously. That's like saying a bank robber who robbed the bank treated the bank outrageously. Give me a break. This is criminal stuff, you son of a bitch. Yes, I called you a bastard, and you are a bastard. And not only that, you know, Hans Rie writing in New and Chess a while back, I think it was back around 96, he questioned whether you even exist. Nobody's even seen you. Nobody knows who the hell you are.
Yeah.
So, you are a fake. You are their in-house opposition. You are working for the Jews. You are no friend of mine, Mr. Winter.
Okay, Bobby. Next subject. You are a crazy genius from Mike Carson. This is April 21, 1999. Hi, my name is Mike, and I live in New York City. I think there is one thing that you do not see, one move that you are missing. You are good with pattern recognition. So why can't you see that many geniuses are crazy? You are one of them. This whole business about Jews, you are not thinking reasonably. I think if you were to realize this, if you were to make the move and start to think reasonably about the Jews and about yourself and your sanity, it would be the most brilliant move of your life. I'm just not sure if you can do it, Mike. Okay, Bobby. Your subject, your anti-Semitism, from Joe Feldman. What is the true cause of it? I don't mean any BS reasons you tell the world about your vast knowledge of a Jewish cabal planning to take over the world. I mean the real reason. Thanks, Joe Feldman.
Well, if you're so wise and all-knowing, why don't you tell me? I've given so many reasons, Mr. Feldman. So many reasons.
Okay. Anyway, subject interviews from Steve Poff. Dear Bobby, this was from April 22, 1999. Although you may have been the greatest player of all time and at one time commanded my deepest admiration, I now believe you are truly crazy. Your interviews make you sound crazy with all the ranting and raving about world jewelry. If you were a true champion, you would defend your title against today's best players. But instead, you went into seclusion and brag about what you could do. Bullshit. I believe the difference between genius and insane is a very thin line. And unfortunately, you cross over. And why did you select Spassky for a rematch? What was his ranking? Around 100. Susan Polgar beat him as bad as you did.
Just a second. Susan Polgar match was rigged, prearranged. Come on.
Okay. I hope you stay in Hungary and don't come back again. I would just as soon keep Kasparov. At least he tries.
You goddamn Jew.